looking at an account where the majority of the people that were touched by the Lord failed to express their appreciation. The text is Luke chapter 17, and we're going to be looking at verses 11 to 19. Luke chapter 17, verse 11 says, "Now it happened as he went to Jerusalem," that's Jesus, "that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. And then as he entered a certain village, there met him 10 men who were lepers, who stood afar off. And they lifted up their voices and said, 'Jesus, Master, have mercy on us.' So when he saw them, he said to them, 'Go show yourselves to the priests.' So it was, as they went, they were cleansed. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, returned and with a loud voice glorified God and fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. So Jesus answered and said, 'Were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? Were there not any found who returned to give glory to God except this foreigner?' And he said to him, 'Arise, go your way. Your faith has made you well.'" Now, to help us to reflect on this particular passage, I just want to divide it into a couple sections. Primarily, we want to talk about the fact that people here were cleansed by the Lord. And then we want to think about or talk about the entire matter of giving thanks unto the Lord. So, starting with this matter of being cleansed by the Lord, we want to see how the 10 men referred to in our text were ministered to in an absolutely incredible way. Something took place that only God could do. Something took place that was life-changing. Something took place that made an incredible difference. And to fully appreciate what took place, we need to understand a little bit about what they were, what these 10 men were plagued with. They had leprosy. It was tough being a leper. There were significant physical issues. Leprosy was, and we could say is, an infectious disease that can lead to degeneration of the tissues and to deformation of the limbs. An infection easily sets in. And I found it interesting in looking at this the other day that even in our modern world, with all of the medical advances we had, there is a guesstimated 10 million people around the world that still deal with leprosy. But not only were there physical issues to deal with, there were social issues to contend with. Because they were plagued with this, they were defiled, things could spread easily, and so people were, in essence, in isolation. Lepers needed to keep their distance from people that were well. And the social implications come through loud and clear as we look at Leviticus chapter 13, verses 42 to 46. Leviticus chapter 13, beginning with verse 42. "And if there is on the bald head or bald forehead a reddish white sore, it is leprosy breaking out on his bald head, on his bald forehead. And then the priest shall examine it. And indeed, if the swelling of the sore is reddish white on his bald head or on his bald forehead, as the appearance of leprosy on the skin of the body, he is a leprous man. He is unclean. The priest shall surely pronounce him unclean. His sore is on his head. And now the leper on whom the sore is, his clothes shall be torn and his head bare, and he shall cover his mustache and cry, unclean, unclean. He shall be unclean All the days he has a sore, he shall be unclean. He is unclean, and he shall dwell alone. His dwelling shall be outside the camp. Can you imagine needing to announce your condition like that? Can you imagine needing to alert people to your own presence? Can you imagine the stigma along with being defiled or unclean? Life must have been miserable for the 10 lepers. But in the midst of that, there evidently was a glimmer of hope. Now, why do I say that? Because of what is recorded in verse 13. They lifted up their voices and said, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." The lepers evidently knew something about Jesus. They evidently knew that he had authority and that he was able to meet their need should he choose to do so. And it all reminds me of another individual that was convinced of who Jesus was as well. A woman that was convinced that Jesus had authority, that Jesus had power over whatever. The power to heal. We don't know the woman's name, but her story is told in Matthew chapter 9, verses 20 to 22. And suddenly a woman who had a flow of blood for 12 years came from behind and touched the hem of his garment. For she said to herself, "If only I may touch his garment, I shall be made well." We understand, do we not, where this woman was at in her thinking and what she thought of Jesus. "If only I can touch the hem of his garment, I'll be made well." But Jesus turned around, and when he saw her, he said, "Be of good cheer, daughter, your faith has made you well." And the woman was made well from that hour. Now, these lepers that approached Jesus, yes, they kept their distance, but they nevertheless came to him asking for mercy. And what did Jesus do? What happened? According to verse 14, "So when he saw them, he said to them, 'Go show yourselves to the priests.' And so it was, as they went, they were healed." Now, this was an absolutely phenomenal thing that took place here, to be healed from leprosy. And it's absolutely phenomenal when any of us is healed from a major affliction. But we need to realize that it's equally phenomenal to be healed from sin. Listen carefully to what the Bible says in 1 John chapter 1, verses 5 to 9. "This is the message which we have heard from him and declare to you, that God is a light and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his son," what? "Cleanses us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to" what? "To cleanse us from all unrighteousness." Every one of us has dealt with sin sickness. The question is, have we turned to Jesus like the lepers did, asking for mercy? If not, we have a condition that is far more serious than leprosy. Why? Because sin separates us from a holy, righteous God. Sin keeps us from having fellowship with the Lord and with other believers. Sin keeps us out of heaven. We are unclean because of sin. But there is good news. It's possible for people that are sin sick to approach the Lord and in the right kind of spirit and with the right kind of attitude to ask him for forgiveness, to seek mercy from him, and to trust him for that work which Jesus came to do on the cross when he gave his life and shed his blood for the sins of the world. In fact, we have an example. We have an example just real close to the text that we're looking at this morning, just on the next chapter. I'd like you to notice what is recorded for us in Luke chapter 18, verses 9 to 14. Also, he spoke this parable to some who trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others. Two men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank you that I'm not like other men, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this tax collector. I fast twice a week, and I give tithes of all that I possess. And the tax collector, standing afar off, would not so much as raise his eyes to heaven, but beat his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be abased. Now, okay, my teleprompter tells me that I had a blooper. Okay, where were we? I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other, for everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted. Yes, thank you. The man who approached the Lord with the right spirit was justified. He was, as it were, cleansed. Cleansed from all unrighteousness. He was clean before the Lord. He was in a right standing with God. So that begs the question, have you and I come before the Lord in that regard, in that way, with that kind of attitude? Have we been much aware of our sin and found cleansing? Have we turned to Jesus and said, God, be merciful to me, a sinner? If you've been touched by the Lord, if you've been made clean on the inside, then you have much to be thankful for. So let's flip the coin now and think about giving thanks to the Lord. Notice again what's said in verses 15 and 16. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, returned and with a loud voice glorified God and fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. Now, the lepers were following the instruction that Jesus had given to go and show themselves to the priests. And as they went, they were cleansed, the text says. And this guy, though, wanted to show his appreciation. He wanted to show his gratitude. He wasn't going to put it off. He returned to give Jesus thanks. How does one give thanks to the Lord? Well, one way that this individual, that the Samaritan, did was by giving thanks was through his voice. Our text declares that with a loud voice he glorified God. So we flip through Scripture, we find numerous examples of people using their voices to glorify God and to give him thanks. For example, in 1 Chronicles chapter 16, we have recorded what is sometimes referred to as David's Song of Thanksgiving. And in its context here, there is thanks given to the Lord in that the ark has just been brought back to Jerusalem and placed into the tabernacle that had been erected. And then we pick up with this in verse 7. First Chronicles 16, on that day, David first delivered this psalm into the hand of Asa and his brethren to thank the Lord. Oh, give thanks to the Lord. Call upon his name, make known his deeds among the peoples. Sing to him, sing psalms to him, talk of all his wondrous works. Glory in his holy name, let the hearts of those rejoice who seek the Lord. Seek the Lord in his strength. Seek his face evermore. Remember his marvelous works which he has done, his wonders and his judgments of his mouth. I wonder if you noticed how that David was exhorting the people to use their voice in giving thanks and praise to the Lord. They were to sing unto the Lord. They were to speak of his wonderful works. And actually, I had to think back, those of you that were here last Sunday, during our praise and prayer time, there were numerous individuals who did that very thing. It was a very rich experience, was it not, to hear testimony given unto the Lord for things that he had done and people rejoicing and praising him. Now, another way the Samaritan gave thanks unto the Lord, actually, we see through his body. According to verse 16, he fell down on his face at his feet, at Jesus' feet, giving him thanks. This man that returned to Jesus clearly was in a position of, or using a posture of worship. He obviously wanted to honor the Lord and to give him the glory that was due his name. Now, in David's psalm that I referred to just a moment ago, I'd like you to notice something else that said on down in the chapter, verses 23 to 29. So, sing to the Lord, all the earth, proclaim the good news of his salvation from day to day. Declare his glory among the nations, his wonders among all peoples. For the Lord is great and greatly to be praised. He is also to be feared above all gods, for all the gods of the peoples are idols, but the Lord made the heavens. Honor and majesty are before him, strength and gladness are in his place. Give to the Lord, O families of the peoples, give to the Lord glory and strength. Give to the Lord the glory due his name. Bring an offering and come before him. O worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. And it seems to me that we see in this particular passage a tying together of thanksgiving and worship. I mean, how can we really separate the two? And in reflecting on this, I couldn't help but think of the Sunday morning years ago when Diane and I did a service at Walnut Hills Nursing Home in Walnut Creek. And afterwards, we were on a fairly tight schedule because I needed to get back to the Gray Ridge Church in time to step into the pulpit to preach there. And so we had picked up our things, weren't dilly-dallying. We were walking down the hallway, ready to go to the exit door to go out to the parking lot, when I became aware it was somebody that was following us. And it was an elderly woman. And here's what she wanted to do, and here's what she did. She pressed a $1 bill into my hand. We left there so touched and so moved. Unless I really misunderstood and really misread what was happening, this woman was wanting to show her appreciation. And so she gave something of what she had. I don't know, perhaps she gave a lot of what she had. But do you and I show our appreciation? Do we give thanks the way that we ought to? And I ask that question because of what happens in our text. After the Samaritan came back to show his appreciation, something really thought-provoking took place. Notice again here, verses 17 and 18. So Jesus answered and said, were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the nine? Where are the nine? Were there not any found to return to give glory to God except this foreigner? Now, there were indeed 10 lepers who were healed, who were cleansed of their leprosy, but only one out of the 10 took the effort or took the time or the initiative to personally come back to Jesus and to show his appreciation. In mathematical terms, that's 10%. 90% did not do that. So Jesus says, but where were the nine? Or he could have said, where were the 90%? And it begs a question that I ask myself and all of us this morning. Are you and I part of the 10%? Or are we more like the 90% that can so easily just go on our way and neglect or fail to really give thanks or to show appreciation? In Ephesians 5:19 and 20, the Apostle Paul encouraged folks like this. He said, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Giving thanks always for all things to God the Father. In writing to the church at Colossae, Paul said, and whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. The giving of thanks should be characteristic of those that have come to know the Lord. It should be expressed in worship and praise. And yes, it should be a part of our lifestyle to give thanks with a grateful heart. Heavenly Father, we do rejoice in you today. We're so grateful that you made possible our redemption, our cleansing, our healing from sin. Thank you, Lord, that we can be a part of your kingdom, of your family. We thank you for salvation. We thank you for your church. We thank you for your word. We thank you for your spirit. We thank you, Lord, for all the good gifts which come from above, from the Father of lights, with whom is no variation or shadow of turning. We thank you, Lord, for the opportunity to be together this morning. We thank you for your many blessings. Help us that we may continue to worship you and to give you the glory that indeed is due your name. And Lord, it's all through Jesus, and it's in his name that we pray. Amen.